Picture this. You're in solid instrument meteorological conditions. Cruise altitude, flight plan filed, everything calm. Then something distracts you. A frequency change, a tablet issue. Reaching for the chart bag. 30 seconds, that's all it takes. In those 30 seconds, the airplane began a slow, coordinated bank, almost imperceptible from inside. The vestibular system, which already stopped being reliable the moment you entered the clouds, doesn't register anything different. The altimeter starts unwinding. The airspeed begins climbing. The spiral is building. That scenario kills general aviation pilots every year. Not because they were reckless or undertrained, because they were busy. And the airplane kept flying without them. I'm Vector on Cleared Direct Radio Hangar. Today we're doing a product review and an industry analysis, because those two things turn out to be the same story. The product is the Garmin GFC 500 Autopilot. The story is what it tells us about where general aviation safety is actually going. Before we get into the hardware, this segment is supported by AviationSold.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot, instrument rated CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. AviationSold.com. Let's break this down from the beginning. To understand why the GFC 500 matters, you have to understand what the autopilot market in piston general aviation looked like before it arrived. For most of the certificated piston fleet, the options were exactly two. Either you had whatever autopilot came original to the aircraft, typically some variant of an older S-Tech or a Cessna-branded unit that was really just an S-Tech with different badges, or you had nothing worth talking about. The S-Tech 30, the STE-55X, the Century Series units in older Beechcraft aircraft. These were workable. They held altitude, they tracked navigation, some of them could fly an instrument landing system approach if everything cooperated. But they were products of their era. They had no integration with modern glass avionics. Their servo technology was aging. And critically, none of them had any concept of what we would later call envelope protection. If you wanted a truly modern autopilot, you were looking at the Garmin GFC 700. And the GFC 700 is an excellent product. But it was designed for complex and high-performance aircraft. The certification basis, the cost, the installation requirements, all of it was oriented toward turboprops and pressurized aircraft. The GFC 700 in a King Air makes every kind of sense. The GFC 700 in a Cessna 172 was never going to happen. So for the owner of a Bonanza, a Skylane, an Aero, a Cherokee 6, the calculus was, live with what you have, or spend real money on an S-Tech upgrade that was still fundamentally a product from the 1980s with some improvements layered on top. Garmin announced the GFC 500 at the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, Aviation Summit in 2018. They delivered Federal Aviation Administration certification in 2019. The system was purpose-designed for the piston fleet, with servo actuators sized for lighter airframes. A price point calibrated for what general aviation owners could realistically spend. An integration built from the ground up around their own GTN touchscreen navigator family. The supplemental type certificate coverage at launch was modest. A handful of Cessna models, a handful of Pipers. But Garmin committed publicly to expanding that list, and they have delivered the GFC 500. Now holds STCs covering Cessna 152s, 172s in multiple variants. 182s, 188s, 206s. Piper PA-28 series aircraft including the Cherokee, Warrior, Archer, and Aero. PA-32 variants. Beechcraft Bonanzas and Debonairs going back several decades of production. The Mooney M-20 series in some configurations. The list keeps moving. That's a deliberate strategic choice. Garmin is targeting the aircraft with the largest installed fleets. They're not chasing exotic niche airframes. They're going where the most instrument flight rules pilots actually live and fly. Now let's talk about what the system does, starting with the standard autopilot functions, because even those represent a genuine step forward from the legacy alternatives. Heading mode is clean and responsive. Altitude hold is solid in turbulence. Vertical speed mode works well. But the part that matters most for instrument flying is how the GFC 500 integrates with navigation. It supports GPS steering, which means it doesn't just chase a course deviations indicator needle. It talks directly to the GTN navigator and follows the lateral flight plan automatically. Turns, procedure turns, holding patterns, approach transitions, all of it. You program the route in the GTN 750, engage the autopilot in navigation mode, and it flies the full lateral path without you chasing needles. Vertical navigation is also supported in conjunction with the GTN units. The system can capture and track a glide path for an LPV approach, which is the GPS-based approach with vertical guidance that uses satellite geometry to give you precision approach capability without a ground-based instrument landing system, coupled all the way to minimums, that is meaningful capability in a Cessna 182. It reduces workload during the highest demand phase of every instrument flight, which is the approach itself, when you're simultaneously managing communications, cockpit configuration, briefing the missed approach, and trying to not descend below the minimum descent altitude until you have the runway environment in sight. For a traditional instrument landing system, the GFC-500 handles glide slope capture and tracking, coupled ILS approaches in legacy piston aircraft, reliably with a modern autopilot doing the actual flying while you manage the communications and configuration. 5 years ago, that was not accessible to most general aviation pilots without a very expensive avionics retrofit. But all of that is table stakes. The piece that makes the GFC-500 genuinely different is ESP, electronic stability and protection. Here is the core concept. The GFC-500 is not just an autopilot you engage and disengage. It is a system that is always watching, even when you're hand flying. The moment the servos are powered, ESP is active. It's monitoring your bank angle, your pitch attitude, your airspeed, and it has defined thresholds. If your bank angle exceeds roughly 45 degrees while you're hand flying, the system applies a force through the aileron servo, pushing you back toward wings level. Not a hard lock, not an alarm. A physical pressure through the controls. A tactile suggestion that you've drifted outside the comfortable zone. You can override it. It is not trying to stop you from doing steep turns. But in the unintentional spiral scenario, in the moment where you don't consciously know you're in a bank, you feel that pushback and you respond. Pitch protection works the same way. Exceed roughly 30 degrees nose high or 20 degrees nose low, and the system applies counterpressure through the elevator servo. Underspeed protection is something the old autopilots simply did not do. If airspeed decays toward the stall regime while the autopilot is engaged, the GFC-500 pitches the nose forward to recover energy. During a coupled approach in deteriorating conditions, this matters. The quiet aerodynamic disaster of letting approach speed bleed off while your head's down managing the cockpit is exactly the kind of thing that happens in the real world. Overspeed protection works in the opposite direction. Airspeed approaching the never exceed in rough air speed, and the system pitches up to arrest the acceleration. In turbulence, in an unexpected descent, in a situation where attention was elsewhere, that matters too. None of these protections require the autopilot to be engaged in a specific mode. ESP is simply there, always, as long as the servos are powered. And then there is the level button, single button, prominent on the mode controller panel, easy to find under stress. Press it once, and the autopilot assumes control of the airplane and returns it to straight and level flight. Wings level, pitch neutral, airspeed stabilized, it works from any attitude within the recovery envelope of the aircraft. From a 40-degree bank, from the early stages of a developing spiral, from conditions where the pilot is spatially disoriented and cannot trust their own control inputs. Because the vestibular system is telling them they're upright when they're not. The honest limitation is one Garmin doesn't obscure. If the airplane is in a fully developed spiral at high airspeed, if the bank angle is steep and the speed is already well past the never exceed value, the level button will try and the aerodynamics may not cooperate cleanly. In that scenario, the structural loading during recovery is also a concern. So the LVL button is not a magic wand at the extreme end of the envelope. It is a very effective intervention in the early and middle stages of unusual attitude development, which is exactly where you want the intervention. The scenario this button is designed for is not the catastrophic fully developed spiral at altitude. It's the moment 15 or 20 seconds in, when the pilot is task saturated, the bank is building quietly, spatial disorientation is taking hold. And one input breaks the chain before it becomes geometrically unrecoverable. Loss of control in flight is, according to the National Transportation Safety Board, the leading cause of fatal accidents in general aviation, consistently, year over year, at the top of the fatal accident category list. A substantial subset of those accidents occur in instrument meteorological conditions where spatial disorientation is the direct mechanism. The GFC-500 addresses that mechanism specifically. One button. Let me be honest about the installed cost, because this is where the conversation gets harder for some owners. The GFC-500 hardware. The servos, the mode controller. The disconnect switches, the cabling, run somewhere between $6,000 and $9,000, depending on aircraft type and configuration. A two-axis installation covers pitch and roll. A three-axis installation adds a yaw damper servo for aircraft like the Bonanza, where the Dutch roll tendencies benefit from active yaw damping. The three-axis version is the one that really makes sense. Labor adds to that. Avionics shops quote this installation anywhere from 15 to 30 plus hours, depending on what's already in the airframe and how the wire runs need to go. All in installed cost for a typical piston single falls between $12,000 and $20,000, with the high end being three-axis installations in complex aircraft. That number gives some owners pause, rightfully. But the comparison points are worth understanding. Competitive autopilot products from Genesis, which produces the modern S-Tech line, are priced similarly for comparable capability. The Garmin GFC 600, which is the version of this system certified for turbine and high-performance aircraft, costs more. And the resale market has already made its own calculation. Aircraft listings with a GFC 500 installation command a measurable premium over equivalent aircraft without it. Buyers understand what the system represents. The market is pricing in the capability difference. Let me say a word about the GFC 600, because the product line is worth understanding in context. The GFC 600 is architecturally similar, but certified for higher performance aircraft, turboprops, pressurized piston singles and twins, more complex airframes with greater demands. It supports additional modes, higher airspeeds, and integrates with more sophisticated avionics environments. If you fly a TBM or a pressurized Bonanza P-35 with a full glass panel, the GFC 600 is the relevant product. The 500 is the answer for the legacy piston fleet, stepping back to the broader industry picture. Garmin's release of the GFC 500 has had visible competitive effects across the market. Bendix King introduced the AeroCruise 100, which brings a simpler autopilot to light sport and basic visual flight rules aircraft at a lower price point. It doesn't have the full feature set of the GFC 500, but it's a legitimate product for a different segment of the market. The competition is producing better products all the way down the price range. Genesis has continued modernizing the S-Tech product line, improving integration with glass avionics and adding features. The competitive pressure from Garmin is good for the market and good for pilots. The FAA has been watching the safety data from envelope protection systems. There are no firm rulemaking proposals I'm aware of, but the General Aviation Joint Steering Committee, which is the FAA, an industry collaboration focused on accident reduction, has specifically identified loss of control as a priority area. The argument that envelope protection should eventually be a certification baseline for new type designs is one that has support in the data. The GFC 500 fleet is generating real-world evidence that informs that conversation. For pilots considering this upgrade, a practical decision framework. First, verify the supplemental type certificate coverage for your specific aircraft and engine combination before you plan the budget. Garmin keeps the STC matrix current on their website. It's detailed and specific. Not every variant of every model is covered yet, and the exact serial number ranges and engine configurations matter. Second, plan for the airplane to be down for a week or close to it. This is not a one-day job. If your flying schedule has obligations that can't accommodate that, time the project for a slower period. Late fall or winter works well for a lot of pilots in the northern part of the country. Third, consider the broader avionics ecosystem. The GFC 500 integrates extremely cleanly with Garmin's GTN and G-Series displays. If you're running a mixed panel from multiple manufacturers, integration may be less seamless and worth a detailed conversation with your avionics shop before you commit. Fourth, and this is the one that gets skipped most often, get some dual instruction after the installation. An hour with a certificated flight instructor who knows the GFC 500 is worth the cost. Understanding what ESP will and won't do, knowing the level button's actual operating envelope, learning to fly with the system rather than around it, all of that pays dividends. The system works best when the pilot understands it. The data tells an interesting story about where general aviation safety improvements actually come from. Not from accident awareness campaigns alone, not from mandatory training revisions, from engineering that changes the outcome of situations that were always going to happen. The Cessna 172 is still going to encounter instrument meteorological conditions, The pilot is still occasionally going to be too distracted during a critical moment. The question is what the airplane does in those seconds. The GFC 500 changes what the airplane does. One button, straight and level. And from straight and level, everything else becomes possible. Sources for this segment include Garmin's published specifications and supplemental type certificate documentation, the National Transportation Safety Board General Aviation Accident Statistics Database, and reporting from AvWeb, Flying Magazine, and AOPA Pilot on the GFC 500 certification and fleet adoption. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Keep the scan going.